I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
It's time for a sales manager spotlight, brought to you by Death Wish Coffee, the world's strongest coffee. And we're going to be talking to some of the world's strongest and smartest sales managers.
What they like, what they fear, how they hire. Doesn't matter if you're a manager, doesn't matter if you're a salesperson, it doesn't even matter if you're just a person. You're going to learn something from these top leaders from around the country.
And with that, it's time to get this week's Sales Manager Spotlight. Let's go to the boss's office. I promise, this time, it won't be scary.
Dan Costello is the Vice President at Staffmark Drivers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. The majority of his experience is staffing, but before Dan was in the staffing industry, which is the bulk of its experience, he held direct sales positions, sales training roles, and sales management responsibilities during his 12-year tenure at Xerox Corporation. Welcome, Dan. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm terrific, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. You know that big Xerox building that's by Beltline on Highway 114 maybe or 121 in Dallas? Did you work at that building or were you not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area then?
No, I was in the southeast. I was actually my career with Xerox was in southern states, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia. And the latest was Jacksonville, and I transferred from Jacksonville to Dallas. So that's how I got out here. But I know the building you're talking about. That's the Las Colinas Processing Center.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we send all of our orders and call them when we didn't get paid.
That's cool. Yeah, 20 years ago, I gave a seminar there to all the Xerox salespeople. Actually, I didn't. I gave it to all the small printers. And Xerox sponsored it. It was a pretty interesting time. But it was back when you sold to small printing companies and wanted their business. I don't know what your business model is now or what Xerox business model is right now. Tell us a little bit about Staffmark Drivers.
So Staffmark Drivers is a niche division, specialty division of a company called Staffmark. And Staffmark is a much larger concern across the U.S., somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.24 billion. We're owned by Recruit, which is a company out of Europe, which is one of the largest staffing concerns in the world. So we're a small little niche business inside of a company that does mostly commercial staffing, along with IT and some other specialty divisions like employee leasing, as well as a cost per unit division that we have. So I've got markets across the U.S. that I manage from this location, and we're still growing, and we're continuing to add new markets. And cool. So it's a great little business.
So do you furnish drivers for trucks and stuff around the country?
Yeah, it's a pretty traditional, Jeff. It's just like you would ordering a temporary employee on a short-term, a long-term assignment, contract-to-hire type of role. And we drive our employees drive our customers' equipment, mostly all commercial vehicles, you know, Class A, Class B type of trucks, and they could be short runs, long runs, you know, daily local deliveries, anything with that requires a driver is what we do in terms of our niche.
18 wheelers or just local delivery stuff?
No, 18 wheelers, certainly flatbeds, refrigerated vans, you know, everything you see on the road. Except for anything that goes boom, we don't do anything that goes boom.
Gotcha. On purpose. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So let me just throw this at you so our diehards can hear this. Dan has to deal with two customers and two people to serve. Number one is the customer who needs a driver, and number two is the driver himself or herself. And so they have to match the company with the employee, and occasionally that employee is a bit wild. Occasionally, it's not always who you think it is. Is that fair to say, Dan?
That's a good characterization. I think you've got it nailed.
Well, thanks. It was a good guess, but it's based on a lot of experience. So do you have a basic leadership philosophy that you deal with? I mean, is there a way that you manage your people that makes them better, more superior, better salespeople?
You know, I think at the end of the day, I mean, I've been through so many different types of leadership styles, either as an employee, as a sales rep, or, you know, a new manager trying to figure it out. And I'm not sure if where I've landed is something that is, you know, generally taught, or it's just, but basically, Jeffrey, my approach is, you know, give the people the tools they need, give them the training they need, and hire people that have the motivation to go out and make it happen. You know, micromanaging salespeople in terms of activities is a longstanding practice in large organizations, especially in this industry. How many calls? It's all about the calls, all about the, you know, number of contacts. And quite frankly, I'm over that. I manage people on results. If the activity's not there, that's their decision. It's you're going to work or you're not going to work. And so, I try to hire people that are highly motivated, who want to be successful, and give them what they need and support them with their customers and strategize on, you know, prospects and pipeline opportunities and, you know, talk about next steps and, you know, just help them be successful. It's really that simple. If somebody's not performing, there's usually a reason why. And most times that's something that's within their control and their decision making. And so that's the conversations we have about non-performance.
So you can like tell them, you can only take them so far, right? And if they're not going to operate on it when the time comes, that's on them.
Well, yeah, I mean, you give them reasonable goals and the tools and you create some competitive environment. You promote the successes and, you know, you stack rank the people and they see where they're at. You don't need to call anybody out. They know exactly where they're at.
Right.
And it's if they're motivated to perform and they're motivated to deliver, that's what's going to come out. I can't make somebody be enthusiastic coming to work. I can't make them make all the calls. I can ask them to tell me how many and they're going to lie. So
really? Wait a minute. Wait. Salespeople will lie to you?
Of course.
More than you will lie to them?
I guess my point is if you have an activity-based standard for performance, you're going to get what you want to hear.
Exactly.
You might not get the results.
Well, if you have a CRM.
You're going to get what...
So let me introduce... By the way, that was not me asking that question. That was Zach Krupp, who you know, Dan, but the rest of our audience of diehards may not know. The great Zach Krupp, who is one of our members of our family and a younger member of our family. I want to make sure he was involved in this because he is seeking to be a leader and wants to ask you questions about maybe the early days of your leadership.
That's right.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, me and Dan have chopped it up behind the scenes. We spoke a little bit. But yeah, I just wanted to jump in, kind of rewinding a bit. What are some of the things that you've learned early in your career that you still use today?
That's a thinker, isn't it?
Sales or sales management?
Management.
You know, I think one of the things that I see often, and you know, I think it's important for people to know, you asked me earlier, Jeffrey, just, you know, what's your philosophy? How do you approach it? And I didn't come up with this, but somewhere along the years I heard it. It's kind of like being successful is a three-legged stool, right? So you got to have all the pieces and, you know, I pretty much just drill it down to three things. Do you have the attitude to be successful? Are you enthusiastic? Are you motivated? Are you competitive? You come to work today, you know, excited to be at work or in front of your clients. And if the answer to that question is no, then you probably need to go find another job because Why are you here? If you're unhappy and you're not making your goals, you're not doing what you want to do, go somewhere else. I'd rather you go somewhere else. The second leg is activities. You've got to do the activities. You got to be in front of enough people. You got to network. You got to, you know, make calls. You've got to be in front of clients. You've got to get referrals. You've got to do the building blocks of the daily activity to be successful. And that's balanced out with the third one, which is skills. How good are you at what you do? You know, I give everybody your little red book. That's one of the things that when it came out, it was like, hey, I'm looking at my office right now. I got 10 of them stacked right here. And every time I hire a salesperson or somebody in a position of persuasion, they get that book. So that's the skill thing. It's just all wrapped up. And if you always are continuing to work on your skills, that's a lifelong endeavor. Activities and passion and enthusiasm, that's a decision you make. And so I'm willing to go as long with somebody who's got the activities and the enthusiasm and the attitude to develop the skills. And so that's pretty much my approach. It's real simple.
I want you to write down, if you're by a pen, there's a new book coming out on October 30th called Truthful Living. It's Napoleon Hill's first writings. And I was given the privilege of annotating it and editing it. And you're going to find in there the foundational, fundamental elements of success that anybody who starts, whether they start with a red book or anything, and I appreciate you doing the red book, by the way, but this will add to the red book experience because it will give them the personal tools that they need. And at the end of every chapter, there's an action plan. And I can promise you, your guys will be more successful for themselves first and then you second.
I actually want to add one thing too.
Sure.
And this is not scripted, but I actually had the privilege of reading Jeffrey's book. I started 2 weeks ago. I finished a week later. It is killer, amazing. Like you said, you were talking about how it's kind of about some of the characteristics that people come in having, like that attitude, mm-hmm. having that spark. That book is like a personal development mastery in one. I pulled so much out of it. It's crazy how, you know, Napoleon Hill, some of the things he's talking about, that was over 100 years ago, and I still found them all extremely applicable. So I, on top, highly recommend that book for Thanks. Sure to anybody.
Dan, you want your salespeople to be successful. You've gone through the hiring process. You have literally vetted them, spending hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars to find them and then hire them, test them, hire them, make mm-hmm. sure they pass the drug test and all the other crap that people have to go through.
Yeah.
But you want right. them to be successful. Do you hire Philadelphia Eagles fans or is it strictly, how about them Cowboys?
No, I look for people with a track record of success.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, that's probably the first piece. You can go down the list of all the other stuff of how many jobs have you had. And yeah. I'm not these days, that's not as important because there's so much going on in the market, but I'm a big believer in talking to, and a lot of HR folks are going to kind of cringe at this, but I want to talk to the people that these folks worked for before. I want to hear their passion about how well they performed and what were the areas they needed to improve. And that's key. If I can't get real cheerleaders for somebody who I'm considering, then it can be a real stretch.
What about talking to their customers?
On occasion we've done that. Yeah. It's not been a consistent practice, but I have done that on some occasions.
Yeah, I would really recommend that because you're going to find out that's where the rubber really meets the road. No driving pun intended there. But you're going to find out from the customer true. Perspective if they really like the guy, believe the guy, trusted the guy, and or had confidence in the guy. Did they show up on time? Some of the things that the customer can tell you are way different than what the boss can tell you because the customer actually feels the service. The boss, you know, he sits in the office and tries to figure out what's going on.
Yep. I agree with that.
Do you make calls with your people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. As much as I can be in the field with them, we're spread across 15 markets right now. And so being out there with all of them, you know, from Georgia to Washington, from Philly to LA. So there's a lot of phone work. But when I'm in the field, I do, yeah, we do spend time in the field.
That's cool. I think that's the most important thing you can do. That you can find out exactly how your salesperson performs. And if I could give you one small tip, when you go out with the salesperson, let them give the whole pitch and record the presentation. Yep. Record it so you can hear it when they're done. You just set your phone on record, and it'll blow the salesperson away. You know, how'd you do, bud? Well, I think I did great there, Dan.
Yep.
Great. You want to know how you actually did? I got a recording for you. I put it on a jump drive, and here it is.
And then have them watch it, too. Have them watch it three, four, or five times and see.
It may not be video, but it certainly could be audio.
Yep. Yep. I think a debrief is absolutely critical after every call, whether it's pulling doorknobs or whether it's, you know, a full book presentation. That's right.
What do you do for training now?
So I got to tell you, I mean, that's an opportunity for our business right now in terms of training, specifically on sales. And that may be more market driven than anything, Jeffrey. The driver space is really, you know, focused on availability of drivers today. It's not as much as open orders or getting business. On the sales side for us, it's getting the right orders, getting the right customers that our drivers and candidates will be excited about going to work for. So it's really a question of qualification and spending a lot of time on, you know, qualifying the client, trying to find the companies where drivers want to work. And so it's a little less strategic on our training, if you will, on the basics of, you know, value statements, opening the call, you know, all the pieces of the sales cycle. But yeah, I think we got some work to do in that area. We're really just focused on the recruiting piece is what's really keeping us busy these days.
I can imagine. When you get a client and they need a driver, do you go to something like Glassdoor to see if they have a good rating as an employer?
Yep. We go there. We'll go to several sites that are DOT related that give us feedback on their safety ratings and things like that. That's a big concern for us, is that our clients have safe operations. But certainly, Glassdoor is one of the ones that we do look at.
That's pretty interesting. So do you have advice? We need just a couple minutes of advice that you have for sales leaders or even salespeople that might make them better based on your experience, because it seems like you're in it for way more than a decade. You might as well crank it out right now. This is your legacy memorial shot. Take a good one.
I would add too. I mean, people are coming to us to recommend you because you come into companies and something changes when you get there. So there's some key that you're carrying out that you bring when you come. So yeah, that's what we want to find out for sure.
Yeah. So let me know what you got.
Well, wow, I think I should have prepared for that question.
Well, no, actually, I'll tell you this. You already know what your best skills are. I don't have to dig deep to find those skills. I think you already know how you retain people, how you encourage them to succeed, how you lead them or coach them to success. I think that's really what we're looking for, and those are foundational things that you already know about.
So, okay, so let me answer this in two ways then. The first one, which was the sales from salespeople, a salespeople standpoint. And I think this is something that it's an evolutionary kind of progression, if you will, in terms of a salesperson's development and their confidence. And I believe that if you're in front of a customer or you're talking about an opportunity or whatever, I hearken back to something that I read years ago, and I can't recall the guy's name. I think it was something like Khalsa, Mahan Khalsa wrote some things about let's get real or let's not play. And if you're familiar with that, it's almost like you're really putting yourself on the customer side of the desk. You know, so many salespeople want to go in and get the order, move the sales to the next step. It's all about them. It's all about the transaction. It's about the final deal. And I get that. But for long-term success, I think the best salespeople are the ones that can really get in the customer side and look at the business from their standpoint. You know, what are the systemic issues that are involved in, you know, this solution? How's it going to benefit just not this one customer, but the rest of the organization? You know, what are the pros and cons and the pitfalls of continuing to do the things the way they're doing them? I really think that is something you can't really, you can teach it, but I don't think you can really master it until you've done it a long time. And it builds your confidence that you're not there to get the business. You're there to help the customer. And if at the end of the day, that's what you end up doing, you're going to be far more confident on future calls, far more successful long-term. And I think that's just whether you're selling a commodity or you're selling, you know, a high-end system solution. I mean, you gotta look at it from that standpoint. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, either you screwed up or it just wasn't a right fit to begin with. So I think from a salesperson standpoint, that's where I think people should strive to get to. And now when I'm in front of a customer these days, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, what's broken in his business? How can I help? And how will my solution fix it? And what are the risks of my solution that we need to be aware of and address those and deal with them? So from a sales standpoint, that's what I would say. From a sales manager standpoint, talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, Jeff, we talked about, you know, giving people the tools they need and supporting them. Recognition is a big thing. I like competitive scenarios. I like creating contests and things that give visibility. From the outside looking in, some of those could look cheesy, but if you're in the middle of the contest, you want to win it. We talked earlier. We've got one going right now for fantasy. I got a fantasy football sales contest going on. And they get points for certain activities and certain results each month. They get yardage. So it's kind of fun. We do a weekly update, just kind of keeping the results in front of everybody.
Cool. All right. So, Dan, will you be at my seminar in Dallas? You bring in your team members, both your friends?
Well, I'd love to. Yes.
All you got to do is pay for a fucking ticket. We'll get you the info. Zach will get you all the info that you need. But it's going to be right out at the airport. So even if you're in Fort Worth, most of the time when people say they're from Dallas-Fort Worth, they're actually from Fort Worth. But if they say Dallas, then they're from Dallas. Or they might be by the airport. Where are you?
I'm just north of the airport, a little town called Flower Mound.
Got it. Ours is going to be in Grapevine, I want to say. I'm not really sure exactly what city it is, but we're going to be eating, and maybe your team will join the crowd. I'm going to meet you, which is not far I tried to go to Heart 8 the last time I was there, and it was all full. And the driver said, come here, the guy from Meet You broke off, and the guy from Heart 8 broke off and opened up Meet You. It's the best barbecue I've ever had in Dallas.
I haven't been there yet.
M-E-A-T, capital U.
Okay.
Go for it.
Check that out.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, well, I'm right next door to Grapevine, so that'll be great.
Cool. All right, so Zach will get you the info. I really appreciate your insight tonight. I really appreciate your time. I'm going to throw up one more thing at you before we go. When I was working for Xerox, I did a lot of consulting, not just speaking, and I was in the Charlotte office, and I walked by a big file, and there were two drawers, full file drawers, sideways files, marked code 99. And I said, what are they? And the lady said, oh, those are the people that hate our guts, put the copier out on the curb, called us up on the phone and said, come pick up this paperweight. And I said, well, have you ever found out what happened? And she goes, nah, not really. We just put them there. I said, I'll tell you what let's do. Just for the hell of it. Let's take all the files, divvy them up, give them to salespeople, and go out and find out what happened. And they did. And it was the most successful marketing campaign they ever had because it had been a couple of years since the file was closed, and most of the people who were decision makers at the time weren't there anymore. And so it was phenomenal what happened. Sales guys are coming back, and now they're begging for the files. You got any more? You got any more? If you have dead customers, you can bring them back to life without having to do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Actually, we're going to call it wallet-to-wallet resuscitation. And that will allow you to resurrect customers that you thought had gone away.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, there's nothing better than getting a customer that's upset with you to be able to tell his story. They want to tell somebody. They want it out. They want to hear you say, I'm sorry. And you do. You go in and you deal with it. Absolutely.
But the win back was priceless.
Yeah.
You know, when you get somebody away from those creeps at a Deco or whoever else your customer is, whoever you compete against, you want to make certain that you brag all over Hell's Half Acre, correct?
Yeah, we do some of that.
Good.
Yes,
I'm happy for that. All right. So I'll see you in a few weeks. Please come up and
Absolutely.
Identify yourself. I'll autograph a book in front of everyone just for you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, it's a total pleasure. You take
care
of yourself.
All right, Dan. Thank you so much.
Okay, Dan. Cheers.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have
Bye.
A good day. Bye.
If you're a sales leader and you just heard this segment and you're thinking, man, I really should get that Gittimer Learning Academy, stop. You need to get the Learning Academy for your entire team so they can get better. And you can track, measure, and monitor everybody on your team after they've taken the assessment and learn about how good they are and or where they need help. And you as their leader can now actually coach them to victory.
If you're a strong, smart, successful sales manager and you want to be featured in our Sales Manager Spotlight series on Sell or Die, all you need to do is email sellordie@gittimer.com. If you know someone or you have a favorite sales manager who's amazing and should be featured, nominate them at sellordie@gittimer.com. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.